Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, we've peaked. I mean, that's it. Show's over. Everybody can go home.
The show is indeed not over because, well, 5 on is like probably my favorite segment. I go back and forth.
They're just questions we have. They're not necessarily the biggest questions. They're just questions.
5 on. Number 1.
Robbie just looks at me and is like, now do I play the thing? Like, you're just staring. I'm like, I got nothing.
Oh, now?
That was it.
Hey, we have questions. There's 5 of them. Here's the first one.
Yeah.
As you heard the big voice guy, Rick Party, say.
So exciting.
Number 1. Which player would you categorize as an unlikely hero this season on the Cubs roster?
Okay. It's obviously Daniel Palencia. Let's just think about his character arc on this midday time slot on The Score. Am I referring to a previous interview done with David Ross? Yes, I am. So when you consider that we all thought that Ryan Pressly was going to be the original closer this season, and then Daniel Palencia is like, hi, I throw 100, look at it go. And then all the hitters are like, yeah, that's all I'm doing with this because I can't hit it. So he ends up being the de facto closer and doing an excellent job. So for me, it is Daniel Palencia.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. I like that. You could have gone with Pomerantz. You could have gone probably with Flexen. There's
Kel
a lot
Pomflex.
Of people. Kel Pomflex. You could have gone with Kel Pomflex. You could have done that. You could have gone with Matthew Boyd, if we're being honest. These are all people who fall under the umbrella.
A lot of dads who stepped up here is really what I'm seeing.
But I think this one is pretty easy because, I'm sorry, you're telling me Carson Kelly slashing 268, 370, 508, and that's after the Cubs' other catcher, Miguel Amaya, went down and he's maintained?
Has anybody checked on him lately?
He's far along in his rehab. He's coming back soon.
I want an update every series. Like, not
every series,
but like every either homestand or road trip beginning.
Okay.
I want an update.
Here's the news on your guy. 11 home runs in 57 games. He hits a home run once every 20 plate appearances, basically. His 2.6 WAR is already the highest he's ever had in a decade of playing in the major leagues, and he's obviously not through a full season. He has been so good. He's worked with a pitching staff that has been great, especially after missing Shota Imanaga for almost 2 months and having Justin Steele out for the season. He's been the primary catcher. He was top 2 in All-Star voting. You could argue he should be headed to Truist Park in Atlanta for the All-Star game over Hunter Goodman of the Rockies, even though that's the Rockies. They had to have someone. Back to that conversation. It's Carson Kelly for me. He's the guy who has been an unlikely hero because you couldn't have told me he was going to put up the type of production he has in an everyday role. Because he wasn't even supposed to have an everyday role, but here he is.
So I have a player to throw it as well, and it seems crazy knowing how good he's been this year, but is PCA an unlikely hero? Because there's no way we thought he was going to be an MVP player to start this year. And for him to be basically behind Shohei Ohtani and how we stack up that MVP race, he's the unlikely hero because I had no idea he was going to be this level of good.
No, I think based on the fact that, for example, this last homestand, the first day of it last week, so a week ago today, Jed Hoyer mentioned when we were discussing what's going on with Matt Shaw, Jed Hoyer pointed out PCA's numbers at this time last year. So, no, I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I think the expectation was similarly defined. Like, you knew who he was going to start. You knew who he was going to be in center. But as far as the performance and the value to the team and the war, yeah, all of that is fair to discuss.
Number two.
In a piece published today by The Athletic, Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney detailed the rise of Cubs closer Daniel Palencia. Sharma and Mooney wrote the following towards the end of the article, quote, "The Cubs are planning to look at the entire pitching market and get creative at the July 31 trade deadline, which means they aren't ruling out adding another closer, but the Cubs are in a position to think big because this dude throws 100, unquote. So here is the question. Is closer anywhere on your list of the Cubs trade deadline needs?
No. No. What are you guys talking about? You traded for a closer last year. He's throwing 6 or 7 or whatever the case may be right now. And Ryan Pressly, you don't have enough draft capital for this. You don't have enough trade capital, prospect capital. You feel me? No, I want you to focus on starting pitching and another bat. No, I don't even think bullpen is a concern. Mark this down in case something catastrophic occurs. And I'll be like, yeah, I was totally wrong. But at the same time, like right now as it stands, is that my biggest need? No.
All right, so let me start off by saying I do think bullpen is always going to be a concern because guys get hurt. And also Ben Brown, who I would love to see, and Kate Horton, who I might see in their bullpen come, you know, the end of the season, the playoffs. You might have to trade Ben Brown to get what you need as far as draft capital is concerned. Not draft capital, but asset capital.
NBA is on my mind at all times. Yeah. I'm always thinking draft capital because that's NBA lifestyle. But you knew what I meant. Prospect capital.
Yes, absolutely. Prospect capital, assets. So, no, it's not near the top. It's not number one. It's not number two. It's not number three. There's a lot of things that I'd like to see the Cubs improve on before they worry about specifically a closer. Bullpen arms, yes. Closer, not so much. Because when you start talking about what it costs to get an established closer, that's problematic. Now, if they want to go out and get, say, Aroldis Chapman, I'm not going to be opposed to it. But you better have answers as far as being able to hit left-handed elite starting pitching. You better have answers as far as who's starting games 1 through 4 in a playoff series before we talk anything about the very, very last outs, which from my standpoint could be solved by anyone from Daniel Palencia to Brad Keller to Porter Hodge. There are guys I can put at the back of the bullpen right now.
So as a bonus question, based on what you're saying here, let's say it's game 7 NLCS Cubs. It's the 9th inning. They're up 1. Do you trust Daniel Palencia in that situation right now?
Yep.
Unless he was used in the 8th inning because that's where the heart of the order was.
I think I agree with you guys. Daniel Palencia has been such a badass.
That's not, like, if it ain't broke for me right now, I'm not trying to fix it.
There are things broken.
is Javier Assad okay? Has anybody heard from him?
They're saying August.
Yeah. You feel me?
Yeah. I feel you.
Number 3.
5 On It continues with Rahimi and Harris with this question. White Sox right-hander Shane Smith is only the second player in history to make the All-Star team the year following his Rule 5 selection. Does this make the Gage Tater Workman saga of 2025 a little easier to stomach?
Gee, who wrote this question? Was it me? Yes, it was.
Was it directed at anyone, Layla?
And you know, there was a little Easter egg even in that question, aside from the Gage Tater Workman saga. It's the fact that the last Rule 5 person to do so in that circumstance is Odubel Herrera of the Phillies.
Wait, the last person.
He
to
was
do
the All-Star. He was the first All-Star selected to the All-Star team after year following his Rule 5.
No, there's
selection.
Only been one guy who's done that, and that's Dan Uglin in 2006.
Odubel is in it.
He might have been an All-Star later, but it wasn't directly after the Rule 5 draft. Do you want me to look this up in this very moment? I can do that. I'm. There's several reasons I'm very confident in this. The number one reason is because Odubel Herrera played for the Phillies. That's number one.
The team you used to host the pre and post game show for.
Yes. Odubel Herrera was an All-Star 2016. He played a full major league season as he had to as a Rule 5 draft in 2015. I was very confident in that. Dan Uglin in 2006 is the only guy who did it. He had great numbers, batting over 300. I believe he had 13 home runs, 51 RBIs at the break. So he definitely deserved it. But as far as the Gage Taylor-Workman conversation is concerned, because when I heard that this might be a question, this might be a topic that we were going to be parsing through, if you will.
Parse rum,
if you will. You can
shout out Ian Happ.
Shout out to Ian Happ always. We go to Toledo, where currently Gage Taylor-Workman, in 37 games played, in 130 at-bats, has 25 hits. That's a 192 average, a 295 on base, and a 369 slug. That's a 664 OPS in AAA. He really did make the most out of a great spring training. And the Gage Taylor-Workman saga has come to an end.
I just found it interesting that not only is Gage Taylor-Workman Rule 5, but that he played for the Cubs, then ends up playing for the White Sox and says he wants to beat the Cubs.
That's crazy.
And then somehow Rule 5 guy ends up the next year going to the All-Star game or after his selection. So for me, it was all a bunch of little knots that got tied up there.
I do have to give the White Sox credit. They're not afraid of a Rule 5 pick. They had three on the roster at one time.
Nor should they be.
Yeah, in their situation. What'd you say? What were you going to say, Ray?
I want to just put the label on the Gage Taylor-Workman saga as the sad summer of Gage Taylor-Workman. It's just the arc is just, like, it's embarrassing when you lay it all out there. Like, I'm going to want to beat these Cubs. And then just, he gone.
Are you kidding? I'm waiting for the Mike Tauchman story arc to continue with him getting traded back to the Cubs.
Sad summer of Tater, man.
It all kind of makes sense, though, specifically because of something that the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, said on Spiegel and Holmes a couple of weeks ago, and I thought about this. The man hates hash browns. Or, sorry, tater tots. Tater tots.
Okay, that's kind of a tater tot.
That's like, no, but he hates tater tots.
Wait, does he hate? What if he hates tater tots but loves hash browns? Would that be weird?
Well, but his mom used
then
to make him.
It's just a shape.
His mom used to make him eat tater tots. He did not like them. So did my man Tater really have a chance with the Cubs?
I'm going to be honest. I kind of agree with Craig. I don't hate tater tots, but I feel like when it comes to the Fry family, I feel like too mushy on the inside.
So from the Tater family, you're saying tater tots.
That just sounds like an oven wasn't preheated.
No, but like it's still the inside is still a little mushy, and if it's a little cold inside, it sucks. It's just like I just like a regular fry or a curly
fry.
Wait
a minute. A tater tot's going to have a much less chance of being those things you described than other forms of potatoes.
Curly
they're
fries.
Small.
Curly fries defy nature.
Yeah.
They are freaking nature, but like an Arby's curly fry, like that slaps.
What was the thing that somebody from Arby's kept texting us?
Potato cakes.
Yes.
They're back. I'm the one who told you. I went and tried them. I was like, they're just as good as I remember from high school working at Winn-Dixie when I used to go up the hill in the parking lot, eat 5 for $5 with a side of potato cakes.
Arby's was like a top of the line sponsor for the Chicago street race. I saw it all on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the beginning of the race.
They have some sort of cheesesteak situation going on.
Yeah.
It was like the race for cheesesteak.
They have the meats, Layla. Cheesesteak, barbecue. They got all kinds of stuff over there.
Did you know what I also saw was on one of the pit crews? Do you know who the sponsor was? Speaking of Odubel Herrera.
Who was that?
Wawa.
Wawa.
I was like, oh, yeah.
It's no Sheetz, but it's good.
What?
Yeah, I just
do you like Sheetz more than Wawa?
It's a bad take.
Wait, I need an answer.
I like the hot food at Sheetz better than I like the cold stuff at Wawa. Yes. And they have fries. And they have fries. Back to the bring it full circle with the tater.
Oh my gosh.
They have fries at Sheetz. Wawa does not offer fries.
The Wawa Italian hoagie is elite.
It's all right. It used to be better. Yeah. That's my take.
Number four.
How did you feel seeing former White Sox Andrew Vaughn do this last night against the Dodgers in his first game as a Milwaukee Brewer?
And Vaughn sends it way back. And welcome to Milwaukee. How about that, Andrew Vaughn? Looking good in that Brewer uni. Bernie hits the slide. And Vaughn with a three-pointer into the bullpen.
Credit to MLB.com, but how did that home run make you guys feel?
Like changes of scenery benefit people? Like that's it. Unfortunately, if you're on the White Sox and you're Chris Getz, you're probably not getting top value for the players who were part of your previous playoff run, team, effort, whatever you want to call that. That past group that we all know that I'm referring to. That group, you're not going to get top dollar value for the trade because you knew you traded low. In fact, I'm pretty sure Andrew Vaughn was basically part of an exclamation point that occurred when it came to that trade. So for me, I think it's a good thing that a change of scenery is benefiting him. And it's a little bit like shades of what happened regarding Jake Berger, but in this case, the expectation in that trade wasn't even a statement making, so I don't necessarily mind it.
What do you mean? Aaron Savali's offered 0.1 in WAR since being acquired in that trade, where he's started four games and put up an 0-3 record and a 4.29 ERA. They got stuff for him.
Sometimes
a 1.619 WHIP.
Sometimes all you need are some innings, okay? And in my life, sometimes I just need some innings. So, you know,
outgetters is Craig Council tells us.
Andrew Vaughn was demoted previously, you know, so it's not even the same as Jake Berger.
Also, how I felt though was I felt like I was watching the end of Infinity War all over again because it felt inevitable, like Thanos at the end of that movie, and they should have gone for the head or something like that because snap, here he is out here. Not only is he producing at the major league level in his first plate appearance for the Brewers, but the Cubs now got to deal with that. And every time he comes back to Chicago, he's probably going to have an extra chip on his shoulder. And now the Cubs got to deal with the White Sox former guy who did not live up to the billing.
The bigger concern is that the Cubs have to deal with a team who seems to get the most out of its players.
Yeah, that's fair. Freddie Peralta looked outstanding in shutting down the Dodgers last night. So, yeah, problem.
Number five.
All right, so the fifth question on Five on It has just kind of become a life question or something that randomly popped into my brain. So I was home in Michigan last week, and you know, I'm laying in my childhood bed, and there's these decorative pillows that are there. So I get in the bed, I take these pillows, and I just throw them on the floor because once, like, they're so uncomfortable, you can't lay on it, and also they're just way too big. And then when I put them back, my mom's like, oh, did you put the pillows back on the bed? You know, when you make your bed? So I don't understand them, and the question is, what's the point of a decorative pillow if you can't use it to be comfortable and it's just huge and in the way?
You know they're also called throw pillows, right? So you kind of made a point there.
What's the point if I'm just going to throw it away? Like, what's the point of being there?
So in the pre-show meeting, I was like, I don't have that many pillows, and then I counted eight that are on my bed right now. I'm not kidding. That's just the bed.
Like, why is it part of the bed-making process to put these things you're literally just going to throw right on the ground?
I think my issue is the pillows that I sleep on. And, like, I do the weekly washing of sheets and whatnot, and I have certain pillowcases that I only hand wash and I air dry and all that.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yes. But those are not the ones you want to see immediately. Those are the ones you sleep on. Like, yeah. So then you're putting pillows in front of those pillows. So then what are you doing? And that's where the throw pillow, aka decorative pillow, comes into play.
Let me just tell y'all
something. And then, like, one just looks weird because it's like, wait, no, like, no.
So what's the appropriate number? How did you get to eight is the question, Layla. How did you get to eight?
It's too many pillows.
Because there's two on either side. And then there's an extra one that I actually sleep on that's like memory foam. And then I had two others that were decorative. And then I had the little one in the front that looks like a hot dog. And then I had another pillow from a VH1 party that I stole back at South by Southwest a few years ago. So then I put a cover on that, but I still like the VH1 pillow. So then I ended up with eight.
So one of eight of practical sleep on it use.
Don't worry about that. But it would look so weird if there was only just one pillow on there.
Now, I have four pillows. They're all for sleep usage, my four pillows. I have no decorative pillows. But when I go home and I go into my room where I sleep, there's probably eight, maybe 10 decorative pillows. And I got to be like, I got to remember how to put these back on when I get up. And one time I was so tired, I was like, I just need a nap. I went upstairs and my mom caught me and one of the decorative pillows was still on the bed. And that's the one I was sleeping on because I just didn't take them all off because I was just taking a nap. And she lit into me like, you do not sleep on the decorative pillows. That's not what they're there for. They're for decoration.
Go mess it up, then. And I was like, this laying is ridiculous. On it, you're going to get it all
fine.
They're there to hide the pillows that you really use, is the thing.
Yeah, so one of the comments on the Twitch line is like, keyword decoratives. That's why it's a decorative pillow. But like, how much are they really tying the room together, are these pillows?
In my living room, I have two big decorative pillows on the couch. Then I have two smaller accent pillows and then like a center. And then I have another pillow under the chair. So I'm up to a lot of decorative pillows.
I have a decorative pillow, or a throw pillow, I guess is what it is, on my couch. And I use that thing like a pillow when I sleep and take a nap on the couch.
Your neck is in shambles all the time. Those pillows suck.
We haven't solved anything. Like, I might just get another pillow, actually.
Please don't.
It's Amazon Prime
to
Day.
To commemorate this discussion.
Please don't. It is Prime Days, but don't.
Oh, it is Prime Day. Ooh.
I just change out the slip covers, okay? It's a lot easier. It doesn't require as much space.
No. Just no.
Now I'm like pondering the life decisions I've made regarding throw pillow, toss pillow purchasing. People are very angry / passionately not caring about Andrew Vaughn on our text line. That's good.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I feel like we've got to get back to this Bulls discussion a little bit because we actually heard from some people we have some expectations for. Modest Bouzelis and Noah Essienga. And Noah, by the way, is going to be on our score station tomorrow with Mully and Haw. So let's hear what they had to say at practice ahead of Summer League coming up next.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Noah Essengay from Saint-Jean-du-Bray, France, and the Ulm Club in Germany.
Ah, yes. Radio Farm Ulm, as I was taught. It is not indeed Ratio Farm, but kind of funny if it was. Oh, well. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score as we talk about the Bulls and Summer League firing up. Does this make you happy, Marshall?
You already know the answer to that question. It doesn't make me happy. It makes me ecstatic.
Hoops junkie over here.
Listen, I love when I can just tap my veins and get ready for incoming NBA action. I know it's Summer League. I know half these guys, more than half these guys, won't be on an NBA roster next year. But it's fun. I'm already enjoying like the pre-Summer League. Like the little Sacramento tournament, 4-team tournament, the little Utah 4-team tournament.
Yeah, the Utah League or whatever I turned on and saw on ESPN last night.
Just a little 2x2. Let's have some fun. I love Summer League because it's your first chance to get to know some of these players. And also, I do enjoy also the fact that we get to see Modest Bouzelis against guys he should be able to dominate. Now, I want to see the domination. Yeah. I want to see the growth from year one to year two.
Well, and it's even like we were talking about, what is the reasonable expectation for Noah Essengay, who, by the way, is going to be on with Mully and Haw tomorrow morning. Chuck Swirsky is filling in for David Haw. And at 8:40 tomorrow morning, you get to hear Noah Essengay talk to Mully and Chuck Swirsky. So I'm looking forward to that conversation for sure. Hey, very funny, Robbie. I am. For one, he has a very cool accent. Number two, I want to see how he sees that he fits in on this team. Just saying.
The problem with Noah Essengay, and I'm trying to give this kid a chance. I really do want to give him a chance because it's not his fault that the Bulls drafted him instead of trading down to get an unprotected first round pick from Joe Dumars and the Pelicans. It's not his fault. But you know, the way I'm going to be evaluating everything he does is going to be in the shadow of that premise and that fact.
I do look at this pick differently because of how Modest Bouzelis turned out. I do believe that the Bulls do a good job when it comes to evaluating international talent. I think that when you consider Modest has gotten a role on a team very quickly, and Billy Donovan talks about like the fits of the team and the goal and what he wants to do, that is something that encourages me. And maybe it's too bold to say, but I would like to see Noah Essengay in some sort of role, like starting games, not necessarily every game, but being one of those starters when called upon later next season. I don't think that's outrageous.
It's not outrageous. It's just my expectations for Summer League are tempered as we talk about this on Rahimi and Harrison. I want to go to Modest first because, look, we know what happened in year one. We saw the potential of what a jump could look like in year two based on the fact that he's not at full strength as a man. Like, he's still growing into his body, and he still has weight he can put on. I just saw a picture the other day of Giannis as a rookie and Giannis now and all the weight he put on between rookie Giannis versus unstoppable down the lane Giannis. And
that's about 50 pounds of muscle.
Yes, that's what it was.
He's 7 feet.
It's crazy. And so because of that, I want to hear what Modest Bouzelis had to say himself yesterday about the importance of the work in the offseason.
It's very important. When you see guys on the floor hooping from like, I don't know, how long was the break that we had? Probably like a month and a half, and we were already in LA. So yeah. It was cool to see everybody's grinding, everyone's trying to get better. And you know, I'm proud of the guys who showed up and they were ready to work. So I think that just makes us stronger as a team, builds character, makes us unique.
What I love about the idea of what he just talked about, Layla, is the fact that some guys are trying to get to their prime. Other guys are in their prime and are trying to add little wrinkles to their game, right? And then other guys are like trying to hang on for dear life and try to stay in their prime. So for Modest, he's got as much potential as far as growth as anybody else out here who's played 1 year of basketball compared to a guy who's been in the league for 5-6 years.
Yeah, he's the Bulls success story right now when it comes to drafting, right? It's him, it's Ayodele Sumo. Like those are the two biggest names for me when it comes to Bulls draft development and even what they've done with Kobe, but it wasn't AK who drafted him, that was Garin Pax, but still. So when I consider the development side of it, I do look to Modest as an example. I want to hear from Essanga as to what he is working on right now before they hit that summer league play.
Yeah, we just tried, to shoot a lot of shooting.
You personally, though?
Yeah, my personally, okay. Because, triple night change. I'm from Europe, so everything changed a little bit. The ball is different. Just, to be ready for play.
The accent, man. I can't get past the
I
accent.
I love it. He said, I'm from Europe. Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
You're not from around
Never
here.
Never a doubt.
Pass me a croissant.
I thought he was from Beverly. No?
No, not Beverly. He's not from there. Although he can go down to Beverly, hoover a little bit if he wants to.
Yeah.
They got course down there.
Yeah.
I want to see what he can do. This is just the baseline test, right? Here's what Noah Essanga can do. And we're going to see what he does well, what he does not so well. And maybe the Bulls can make a run in this tournament and get into the actual tournament and win a summer league championship.
But what we do know is it's about development more than yes. trying to. If they win the summer league championship, do you hang a banner?
I think you should.
But where? Like at the Advocate Center or something?
At the Advocate Center. That's a nice banner. Like, come work hard and maybe you'll make a team, be a Javon Freeman Liberty type and just be on the...
Could you imagine if that was in the United Center? Just like the 6 Jordan titles and then Summer League.
Would you be opposed to hanging an in-season tournament banner up in the United Center?
I would be opposed.
The Lakers did that.
Yeah.
So there's all these...
I think that was...
There's all these championships and then there's in-season tournament.
Yeah, I think that was prodded by the league. I think the league expects you to put up a banner if you win the in-season tournament. That's kind of selling what it is.
What's the worst thing you can be proud of and hang a banner about? Like, can you put up, we went to the finals? Is that a banner you can
division
hang?
Champion.
Yeah, division champions probably, in any sport, division champion probably does not deserve a banner.
Like, some divisions don't want to be won. I'm looking at the NFC South. You know?
I was thinking of the AFC South too, but your NFC South is a much better example.
Oh, I would say they're both excellent.
Yeah, but I know I think NFC South is, at least the Texans are out here with clear winning records, year after year, but some years not so much when you're talking about the Titans and the Jaguars.
Whew. See, once you get the names going,
it can be rough.
Then you feel it.
But no, with the Bulls, my expectations are simple. Number one, can I say number one?
Yeah.
Don't get hurt. Don't get hurt.
Stay healthy.
Don't get hurt. Because the best ability is...
availability.
And so you just want to see some type of growth. And you want to see several plays from Noah Essanga that make me say, that guy should be playing in the NBA.
Well, and I want to hear him say he's working on a shot. That is 100% what you want to hear. I look at a lot of his film offensively, and what you're seeing is a very downhill player. He can make it down the court in a few strides. But in Europe, as he mentioned, you're talking about very open lanes to the hole, and that's not going to be the case here. So as much as you can do that, do it.
Got a lot of comments coming in on the text line on this particular subject. As we talk about our expectations here on Raheemy and Harris for the Bulls in Summer League. Let's start with this. 708, is there a summer league play-in game they can win? Actually, there is. You get out of pool play, and then based on your record, you advance to the actual tournament. And that's how you get into, because all the teams will be there, all 30 teams. And depending on your pre-tournament record, you get into the actual draw and have a chance to win a summer league championship.
Does the NBA make the court special for that too?
I don't believe they do. Yeah.
815, pretty sure the Colts have hung division championship banners.
There's that AFC South that we talked about. Yeah.
I will never forget. It was the previous owner of the Texans, the late Bob McNair, when he fired Gary Kubiak, who later won a Super Bowl. And he's in this press conference and he says, mediocrity is not our standard. We've won 2 division titles. Sir, What you just said is absolutely the definition of low standards and mediocrity.
But they didn't miss the playoffs every year. They got there, and they probably won a playoff game at some point, right? And during that time?
Well, yeah.
But
then, you know, the bigger victory at times was that they were in the playoffs and the Cowboys were not.
I'm honestly surprised the Bulls don't have a play-in banner. Like, I feel like that'd be something that'd be up their alley if they just had, like, times were in the play-in.
No, I mean, if they were going to have a banner, like, if you say you win the in-season tournament here, I would vote that by banner placement, maybe that's the one that should have been hung over the disturbed wall of fire set.
725, AK should hang a cash considerations banner.
Cash considerations was more of a hallmark of the late stage guard packs, I would say.
Gotta save money, Lily. Anytime you can save money, that's a good thing. I don't know if anything beyond stay healthy, flash that you're an NBA player, is going to get me hot and bothered. Now, if they get in that tournament and they get to, like, say, the semifinals, we'll have something to talk about.
And since I'm on this, the Bulls developed Matas Buzela, so I am encouraged with Noah Essienge. Can we just hear more cool French accent and hear what he has to say about Matas Buzela as an example?
Yeah, that's really helpful. You know, that's someone, like you say, that's someone. We have the same goal, be better every day. He's played a little bit like me, you know, and got already 1 year experience. And I think he played really good. So that's just like helped me to have a role model on the court.
I mean, come on, man. That French accent is everything.
You're like happily bouncing over here when you hear it.
I took a lot of French and I never sounded like that.
I did too, and I did not either.
He also called Buzelis a role model. He's 20 years old and Essienge is 18.
Okay,
can
hear
he
me
be
out.
A role model?
Those are the different, like, that's the hard part about, like, the English language. Like, your second language, you're trying to find those words and they don't necessarily translate. That's difficult. I'm not going to parse that.
Same.
But I do think that Noah Essienge sound on the score should be a thing. Like, wherever he is, we've got to make sure that he is interviewed.
Robbie, you say that, but aren't you happy that he's saying Matas Buzelis is my role model as opposed to Patrick Williams is my role model?
Yeah, that is definitely
because there are options there. There are other players he could be. He's like, he got a $90 million contract. That's what I would like.
I'll tell you why it's applicable that Matas is a role model for young Noah Essienge. It's because, you know, Noah was in France seeing NBA highlights on social media of Matas dunking and doing all his flashy things. So, yeah, I think it's applicable.
His studs texted in.
What did he say?
Remember the Colts hung a banner for playing in the AFC title game.
I mean, it's hard to get to the final four.
It says 2014 AFC finalist.
It's kind of funny that it's not, because they're in Indianapolis, it should really be a final four banner in the NFL because they're in Indianapolis and that's a final four place.
To be fair, I might have forgotten that fact if it weren't for the banner, you know.
Yeah.
Smirk. You know who has a right to hang some banners?
Who's that?
Our next guest. The man dominates Chicago streets. Shane Van Gisbergen swept the weekend of the NASCAR Chicago Street Race. We get to talk to him again, and he has an awesome accent. And I think he faced a situation that many Chicago drivers face, so I would like to ask him about that next. It's on the score.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair, and the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Maybe just go ahead and give him a key to the city. Because Shane Van Gisbergen does own the streets of Chicago. He delivers once again.
Hell yeah, buddy. Weekend sweep. You are a bad.
Shane Van Gisbergen takes the sweep. Over the past 2 days of racing in Chicago.
This is the one time you can tell a man he's for the streets and it'd be a good thing, right?
Absolutely. And we're playing Kickstart by My Heart by Motley Crue. Let's go. Let's go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. We talked to him last week. We had a feeling he was the overwhelming favorite for the NASCAR weekend, and why not on the Chicago streets. Congratulations to Shane Van Gisbergen on not only Saturday, but Sunday. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you made a lot of things look like, relatively speaking, no problem. Let's start with the race on Saturday. That was the 110. I got to check it out myself. I was there that day, saw you do the donuts at the finish line, which was a lot of fun to watch. What did you learn maybe about the course this year? It is the same. It was the same course overall. But what did you learn about maybe driving on it this year or improve on that from the years past you were able to use that experience to your advantage this time around?
Yeah, the track was pretty similar to previous years. It was just so much hotter. Like the weather was great all weekend, but Saturday especially was very hot. Track was really slick and the tires didn't like it. So, yeah, just trying to learn and Saturday certainly helped me for Sunday, that's for sure. I had a great day, and then, you know, turned around, did it again the next day.
Shane, I got to know, how confident are you going into a weekend like last weekend? Because for us, it was a foregone conclusion you were going to win the race. But I want to know what your mindset is going into something like this, where you know you've had to have a decided advantage over most of these NASCAR drivers who are used to certain things being certain ways, while you are well adapted to this style of race.
I guess, you know, reasonably confident. You know, it's my style of racing, but, you know, we've been getting a lot better on the road courses, doing really good work with the car setup and development of it. And the preparation here was really intense, but good at the same time. And as soon as we got on track, it felt great. So kind of just built on that and built up all weekend. And yeah, just to have two flawless days was really, really cool.
Now, Shane, I did laugh. Somebody made the joke on Twitter here that when there was the big pileup in the Grant Park 165 on Sunday, that just like in Chicago at that point on a regular basis, Lakeshore Drive was down to one lane. Take me through that pileup and just being able to, I know that was, you were ahead of the pack, but just having that caution flag come out and then knowing that that was a possibility for the drivers on that course, that was pretty dramatic just to see from our vantage point.
Well, I was glad I was ahead of it and not involved in all that mess. Yeah, then they parked us halfway around the track for 15 minutes or so while they red flagged and cleaned it up. But yeah, unfortunate. It was lap three or four, so unfortunate for a lot of cars to get pulled out of the race. But that's the street circuits. That's high risk, and stuff like that can happen.
Well, and I feel like nobody knows that better than you. What did you maybe either proof yourself from, or just know when to, you know, essentially when to speed up, when to slow down? But just what caution did you take to prevent something like that happen? Because that's another first time though, I feel like we've heard from drivers over this NASCAR weekend here, where a particular turn gave the field a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I started the race pretty conservative. You know, the first stage, another guy passed me and I kind of just cruised behind him and, you know, left a lot of margin to the wall and just, you know, built up to it. And then, you know, the second stage, third stage really started pushing. But yeah, track like that, there's no room for error. You got to leave a little bit of margin. So I left a little more than usual in the first stage and then really turned it up in the second.
We're talking to Shane Van Gisbergen, who swept the Chicago Street race this past weekend. And Shane, I want to know what was different about this weekend than the previous two. You've had success all three times, but what was different for you, whether it was the feeling of how you won or conditions?
Probably just the weather. Yeah, it's the first week it hasn't rained. You know, we had great weather each day, and it rained at the end of the race, which was probably kind of fitting, but yeah, just it was a cool weekend. Great for the fans, the atmosphere, the concerts and everything. It felt alive, the place. It was really cool doing the pre-race on the float and how excited it felt like everyone was excited to have us there.
I definitely would echo that. Even being in the crowd, just watching, you could tell there was a definite buzz and a group that I think knew what they were seeing. You know, they know what to expect. And also they're familiar with you and your work, you know, owning that aspect of NASCAR races. What has winning in Chicago and then expanding on that in your resume with NASCAR, what has this city and this race meant to you in your career?
Yeah, as I said that many times last week, like it kind of changed the course of my career to come over here and race NASCAR full time. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that race a couple of years ago, so yeah, it's been awesome for me. Great place, and I really hope we keep coming back in future years. It feels like the momentum of the race is building. It's only getting better, and people still really enjoy having us. So I hope it really continues. And yeah, I definitely it's one of the races I most look forward to on the calendar.
Did you ever think that in your experience in the Supercars League in Australia that you would even get an opportunity like this to drive in NASCAR someday?
I always dreamed about it, you know, the like road course ringers, they call it, guys who come in for one off or a couple of road course races a year is kind of normal in NASCAR. And I always hoped one day to have a go, but I never, ever thought I would be doing it full time, you know, so it's been a good change and one I've really, really enjoyed.
Shane, Kevin Harvick had some recent comments on the podcast talking about how your ability to get better at this, something you're already better at than all the other NASCAR drivers, has widened the gap as you continue to get faster and better, and he called it terrifying. Do you see yourself and your growth in this as something that says that you can do this for years to come because of how much better you've gotten compared to the rest of the field?
But you hope to think that, don't you? But yeah, I never just sit on what I'm doing. You know, you're always looking for ways to improve. And even on a weekend like that, we had areas we could have been a lot better at and still could have made the car better and myself better. So yeah, you can't just sit still while everyone catches up. You got to keep trying to get better yourself as well.
Is it wrong that I even think one of the main skill sets that you showed off is being able to do donuts in that small amount of space? Because the start-finish line didn't have a lot of room to work with there, and you pulled it off really well.
Yeah, it's amazing. As you know, I've been lucky to do that there a couple of times. I had a little bit of practice, but I did touch the wall on Sunday, so it didn't ding up the car too bad. But it was it's pretty cool doing it there right in front of the crowd and all the team guys. It's an epic feeling.
And then just lastly, Shane, what has been your impressions of just the city of Chicago? And you mentioned the atmosphere, but just being able to take in, I know you've got a lot of work to do. This is a business trip for you, but yep. What has been your impressions of just being here?
Yeah, just like where we stay in that little hub right across the track and walking to the track every morning, you know, on Sunday we're walking in with the fans, you know, it was pretty cool seeing the place fill up and then, yeah, just as I said earlier, just that buzz or the vibe of everyone is really uplifting. You know, it's like everyone's enjoying themselves and it makes you want to be there as well. It's a really, really cool event to be part of.
Well, cheers a Red Bull or a sugar-free Red Bull to your victory, Shane, driving for Red Bull and for WeatherTech. Congratulations again. And thanks for putting on a show here in Chicago.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
That was Shane Van Gisbergen, who owns the Chicago streets. He's for the Chicago streets.
He's definitely for the streets in Chicago. He's probably going to be for the streets in San Diego next year, maybe for the streets in multiple cities. We'll see how it goes, but right now he's the king of the road.
Yeah, a dashing gentleman with a cool accent who can run the streets. How do you like that?
Scary for all the ladies out there.
Don't hurt him, Shane Van Gisbergen. Putting on a show for sure. It was a lot of fun to watch. So we thank him for joining us here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Coming up next, it is a little segment we like to do called Stalking. It sounds a lot more dangerous than it really is. We want to know who the Cubs' possible trade deadline candidates are. And we continue with starting pitching. Mitch Keller. You're under the lens. We do it next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.